Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning to you. It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt once again this morning. And we go live to Ukraine. And Joseph Lindsley joins us now, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News. And I am on it right now, UkrainianFreedomNews.com. Good morning to you, Joseph.
Wendy, good morning from Lviv. And there's a lot of little mysterious things moving around today. As we speak, it seems that this Freedom for Russia Legion, which is Russian citizens who've been fighting alongside Ukrainians. A few days ago, they made incursions into the Russian Federation near the border with Kharkiv region and Sumy regions of Ukraine. And they're still continuing activity. We have video this morning of near that Russian city, or possibly within that Russian city of Belgorod, which is the closest city to Kharkiv within Russia, that there are drone attacks. There are some skirmishes happening. So as Ukrainians are referring to this as Russian democratic forces versus Russian imperial forces. We did have the story yesterday that the Russian security services headquarters in the region was attacked by the Freedom for Russia Legion. So this is the most significant incursion into Russia we've seen in these past 2 years. And unlike a previous one a year ago, this is sustained for several days, and it's happening on the eve of the three-day election spectacle. That's not an election, that will begin in Russia starting tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Russians attacked once again Kharkiv City, now 2 days in a row. They do attack it. I mean, lately they've been attacking that city about once a week. It was very intense over New Year's, but it's been fairly calm there. And now we're seeing an increase in attacks on Kharkiv City. At 4 o'clock this morning, when everyone was sleeping, they sent S-300 missiles into a residential neighborhood. So it was a terrible night there. And, a couple of days ago, the Russians attacked Kryvyi Rih, which is President Zelensky's hometown. And I just saw this this story. There was a you can read these text messages of it. A Ukrainian woman in a different city was texting her friend who was in Kryvyi Rih. And I'll read you the exchange that was seen on the phone. The woman, the friend in a different city, types, "Angela, are you okay? I see that there are attacks in Kryvyi Rih." And Angela does not answer. So the woman writes, "Angela, please answer. I'm worrying about you." And then, like some hours later, there's a response saying, "My mom is not alive anymore. This is Tatiana, her daughter. The Russians killed Angela." And you know, this is the sort of normal stuff that happens routinely in Ukrainian cities, especially places closer to the front line. And in this context, Ukrainians are still trying to get ammunition so they can hold the line and push back. There are some estimates I just read that the Russians are firing about 10,000 bullets a day, while Ukrainians are firing just about 2,000. Now, within that context, it also means Ukrainians are not wasting bullets. Right. So they're trying to be efficient. So it's not all negative. And we do see Ukrainian, again, this incursion into Russia by Russians who've been working with Ukrainians, and Ukrainian success in the Black Sea and taking out Russian jets. You know, there have not been major missile strikes here, for example, on Lviv, really since since January, and in other cities sort of far away from the front. So there's always a mix of good and bad. Meanwhile, in Europe, we're seeing some kind of awakening, something changing in the air. The tiny kingdom of Denmark, relatively tiny, is announcing that they're going to ship $336 million worth of ammunition and artillery to Ukraine. Now, think about that figure, because that's a figure that the White House just promised to send to Ukraine, $300 million worth of weapons. And now tiny little Denmark is sending the same amount. And then the Estonian prime minister, she said yesterday, "Russia is a direct threat to us." And she said that she does not rule out the possibility that Estonia will send troops into Ukraine. This is a new level of focus here. And even in in France, Marine Le Pen, the right-wing French leader, who, you know, she's not been, you know, I mean, a lot of people have said that they have ties to Russia and her party. She's not been a strong voice about Ukraine. She gave a very powerful speech in France, and she said, to the attacked Ukrainian nation, we owe our respect and support. This is totally new rhetoric from Marine Le Pen, that right-wing French leader. And then tonight, from Paris, President Macron is making an address to the nation through in the mechanism of an interview, specifically about Russia's war on Ukraine. And lately, the French president has been saying he's not opposed to sending French special forces here to Ukraine. So we have activity by Russians within Russia fighting the regime. We have Russia continuing to attack frontline cities, and we have European leaders opening up the possibility that they want to do a lot more to help Ukraine.
And how did your report on Twitter go yesterday?
Maria report. It means dream. And there's a famous Ukrainian plane. It was the largest plane in the world, designed in Soviet times, called the Maria. It was destroyed in the first 24 hours or so of the big invasion. But at that same time, sort of inspired by that, just volunteers around the world created this. It's really a broadcast. It's a network now, because it's always broadcasting on X 24 hours a day. And it really is like, as I said yesterday, like listening to Radio for Europe. You have hosts from all over the world. So, you know, always in English, but different accents. And they care about this. They've been caring about this fight since the beginning. And it's a real community that's developed. And so it's a great opportunity to share ideas and knowledge and insights. And so I took questions from the listeners. And one thing, you know, we came up with this idea that every week I'm starting to do this show, that we want to finish with a question, especially to ask people in Washington. And so the question we developed yesterday was, you know, there are a number of especially Republican, but also Democratic members of Congress and the Senate who are about to retire. They're going to retire at the end of this term for different reasons. I think a lot of them are just tired of Washington. And a lot of these people have never been to Ukraine, although they voted against Ukraine. Some have voted with Ukraine, some have voted against, and for some it's a mixture. But they still have never been here. And so the appeal to them is, hey, look, you're about to leave Congress. You can go anywhere you want, you know, as part of a congressional delegation. Why not just come to Ukraine and check it out? You know, a lot of them spend time in Taiwan. It's like they want to go to anywhere else where there might be a future problem while ignoring the present problem. And so it was an appeal to congressmen such as Mike Gallagher, who's been strong in Ukraine, but focuses more on Taiwan, to Dan Bishop in North Carolina, who's voted against Ukraine many times. And many others, and say, hey, why not come check it out and see the truth for yourself?
That's pretty amazing, actually, to go check it out. And thank you for being our eyes and ears, because I've never been there and probably will never get there. So we thank you, Joseph.
Well, Wendy, you're welcome to come when there's victory and peace and safety.
That's when I would like to come, and hopefully that will be soon.
Thank you, Wendy.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good rest of your day.
Until tomorrow. Thank you.
Joseph Lindsley here on 720 WGN.